If you are a real estate investor or you want to be a real estate investor and you want more funding for your deals, regardless of your credit, regardless of your income, or regardless of your experience in real estate investing, don't go anywhere because I'm getting ready to plug you into the money. Well, welcome to another show. Welcome to Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor. I'm Jay Connor, the Private Money Authority. And if you're a first-time viewer or listener here to the show, a very special welcome to you. Glad to have you. I'm so excited today to have a very, very special guest. But before I bring the guest on, and I tell you what, you're definitely going to want to stay to the end of this show, because what this guy has got to reveal to you and pull back the curtain on, you're not going to miss one word. But before I bring him on, I want to remind you about the upcoming live event that I'm personally going to be hosting called the Real Estate Investing Cash Flow Conference. We're going to have private lenders there for you to network with. We'll go on the luxury bus tour and actually look at my houses that we renovate. You'll get to meet the team. You'll learn about how to find deals before other real estate investors even know they exist. Of course, more funding, how to sell any house in less than 3 days, and then how to automate your real estate investing business. So if any of that sounds remotely interesting to you, you want to get right on over after the show to, and I'm going to put it right down here on the screen right now so you can make a note of it. Get on over to www.jayconner.com/money podcast. Check it out. I want to meet you in person at the upcoming event. Also, if you're on iTunes, I appreciate you rating and reviewing on iTunes. And if you are watching on YouTube, comment below, ask your questions. We'll get all of your questions answered regarding real estate investing. And of course, in either case, subscribe so you don't miss out on the content in the show. The subscribers are growing at lightning speed, and we don't want you to miss out. With that, let's get right on to this show. I'm so excited to have my friend, my special guest on here. Mr. Brian Tripp is with us all the way from Birmingham, Alabama. That's one reason I love him so much, is because we actually speak the same language. Hey, Brian, welcome to the show.
Jay, I'm honored to be with you on the show. I love your excitement. I love your passion. I'm here to provide as much value to your audience as I can. So let's do it.
Man, I appreciate you being here so much. So everybody, I want y'all to know, I just first met Brian. It's been within the past year. But my lands, I heard him and saw him speak on stage in person just a few weeks ago. It's amazing, Brian. I mean, you and I were in a mastermind meeting like the day before in a different city down in Tampa, Florida. And it's like you weren't even there. And then when you hit the stage the next day in Asheville, North Carolina, it's like, you know, fireworks were going off. I said, what is Brian doing here? But anyway, first I'll tell you, well, I tell you what, Brian, I don't know anybody who knows Brian Tripp better than Brian Tripp. So Brian, why don't you take a moment and give everybody your backstory and you know, what a thing, you know, give us your background. Who is Brian Tripp and what are you all about?
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I moved to the state of Alabama in 1998 after I graduated from high school. I went to the University of Alabama, Roll Tide. And after that, I think a lot of people are in the same boat. When you graduate from college, you don't really, a lot of people just don't know what to do next. And so I spent 6 years, that's right, 6 years in college getting a bachelor's degree. And I just did not know what to do next. And I certainly didn't know how to make money. And so I just kind of bounced around. I ended up going back to school and got my master's degree in education. I started coaching and teaching. I was coaching Division I college basketball and teaching. I was an adjunct English professor. And that is when this incredible thing called real estate kind of landed in my lap completely by accident. I went to a seminar, kind of learned just a couple of theory, a couple of things, went out and just kind of mostly on my own, did my very first real estate deal. I made $10,000 on a wholesale transaction when I had no money and bad credit, and I was still able to make money. So I was like, wait a minute, this real estate thing might be something. So that's kind of what launched me into real estate from the very beginning. From there, I just kind of had the bug. I was educating myself. I was reading tons of books. I was watching tons of videos on YouTube. I wish I would have known about your channel. I definitely would have been checking out the private money stuff for sure, because I struggled with that for a long time. And just learn and try to absorb, get around people like you, Jay, get around like-minded people, people that were doing things bigger than myself, and just slowly and surely have just kind of built a, you know, a rental portfolio where I have close to 80 doors now. We're doing some fix and flips here. We do a lot of wholesaling. I teach, I coach here on a local level here in the Birmingham, Alabama area. I'm a big believer in the local model. We started a real estate club in January of 2017 because I just felt like there was already one in town, but it was kind of doing things the old way. I wanted to do things a newer way, kind of the more creative stuff and a little bit more excitement and passion. So I started a real estate club. We grew it to just almost 1,000 members in about a year and a half, active paid members. And now we decided to take this thing national. So we've rebranded. We call ourselves Real Estate Investing Live, REI Live. We actually have affiliates all throughout the country, and we're continuing to grow them. And you just mentioned Tom Kroll's name. Tom Kroll is my business partner in this venture, and we're popping these things up all over the country. And if we're not in your city, we would love to be in your city. So definitely get in contact with us. So Jay, that's my story. That's my long-winded story. I love real estate. Real estate saved my life like it did so many people. And I'm just honestly here to provide value to people. I wrote a book called Nothing's for Sale. And the reason I titled it that is because I don't want to sell you anything up front. I want to give you as much value and give you, I want to give you a reason to come back. And so anything, you know, that I can do for your audience, Jay, I'm delighted to do it. And here we go. I'm ready.
Man, that's awesome. So I know our viewers and listeners want to know some things. So I got some questions already formulating in my brain. Number one, so as of the date of this show, we're here in 2018. So you've been in real estate investing for 6 years. And what's amazing to me is what you have already accomplished in the world of real estate investing. So you started out wholesaling. Now let's stop right there for a second. Different real estate investors have got different definitions of wholesaling and what that really looks like on the exit strategy and et cetera. So when you are talking wholesaling, give us the definition of that as far as what that looks like in your world.
So Jay, that's actually an incredible question. That's a question a lot of people kind of gloss over, because if you talk about what is wholesaling, period, wholesaling is, and I'm not talking about real estate, I'm just talking about what does wholesaling mean? It means you buy something and you turn right around and you sell it at a retail price. That's what wholesaling is. And so when it comes to real estate, it's become this catch-all phrase that people just equate assigning contracts with wholesaling, and then actual like wholesaling double closes. They kind of lump it all in the same thing. So it's not technically, but we will do, to answer your question, we do contract assignments. That's the main thing that I've done. We'll do some double closings. We will do some actual true wholesaling from time to time, which I think some people call it wholetailing, where we'll actually buy it, clean it up a little bit, and then put it on the MLS. So we'll do any of the above. We actually, you know, kind of got to a point in my real estate investing to where when a great deal comes in, we analyze that deal and where we're trying to figure out how we can make the most profit for our time, right? And for our resources. How can we make the most profit? Sometimes it makes total sense to assign it and make 10, 15, 20,000. Sometimes it makes sense to go ahead and buy the thing, clean it up, put it back on the MLS. And sometimes it makes sense to actually just do a full-blown rehab and resell it for bigger profits. So it depends on, you know, our return on our time, our return on our money. We want to know what's the best for that particular property.
So give us an example of, so what might criteria look like to where, you know, okay, we should not rehab this house. We shouldn't wholetail it. We should just assign the contract versus, well, when would you consider wholetailing it, clean it up just a little bit and, you know, let an end user get a good discounted price? Or what criteria unfolds to where it would make sense to do the full rehab?
Right. Yeah. And you know, we have analyzers that analyze deals like that. And a lot of times you're going to get the most profit by doing a full-blown rehab most of the time. And that, and you know, I know you talk a lot about private money, but also that has to do with how much is the money going to cost you as well. So right. we have to analyze every part of it. But here's the thing. A lot of times you're actually going to make the most amount of money by doing a full-blown rehab, relisting it, right? That's most people would probably agree with that in most circumstances. But what they don't talk about is your time.
Right.
A rehab project for me, I hate them. I absolutely hate them. I do about 3 or 4 a year. I just don't like to do them. I hate messing with contractors. I hate messing with, we have a lot of vandalism that goes on here. I just don't even want to get involved. I'd rather not even own the thing and just let, so I'll take $20,000 less profit if I can make that money in 2 or 3 weeks versus 6 months.
Yeah. Well, and also in this world of wholesaling, as you describe it, you can do a lot more deals, numbers of deals, than if you're just sticking to the rehab and, you know, only.
Because you don't have capital tied up.
Right.
So you're wholesale, like that's why you never see any publicly traded rehabbing companies. It takes just a massive amount of capital to just do one deal. I mean, you start talking about, you know, a $250,000 to $300,000 house. Well, you've got to tie up $200,000 or more, right?
That's right. That's right.
Try to do 3 or 4, 5, 10 of those at a time. You're tying up a lot of capital. And I know a lot of guys, friends that we have in common. I mean, there's a guy out of Virginia that you know very well that was doing tons of rehabs and just decided, I'm scrapping the whole thing. I'm not doing any more rehabs and we're going to do nothing but wholesaling. And now he's one of the national leaders in wholesaling.
Right, right. That's awesome. Now, one thing you said a moment ago was, you started this local real estate investing group, and in a year and a half, you've grown it from, I think I heard you tell the story when we were in person a couple of weeks ago. Your first meeting only had like, what, 4 or 5, 7 or 8 people there, right?
Four people.
And then
four people.
From 4 people to a year and a half down the road, you got over 1,000. Tell me, how does that happen?
Okay, so let me give you a little bit of context first, and I know I've told the story. Let me kind of correct it just a little bit. So in April of 2016, I just went to meetup.com and started a little meetup group called Learn Real Estate Investing in Birmingham. I was a teacher, had a heart of a teacher. I wanted to just teach people, educate people, kind of give back a little bit and fulfill kind of that desire and need to teach. At the same time, you know, obviously there's some selfish intention as well. I wanted to try to do more deals and get more deal flow, maybe meet some buyers, things like that. So I launched a meetup group where 4 people showed up. So including me, there were 5 people in this room, actually, the room that we're in right now. And I kind of outgrew my office. And in January of 2017 is when we launched it. We just changed it from a meetup to an actual RIA. And there's not any real difference, except I guess there's a little bit more intention when it comes to starting a RIA, Real Estate Investor Association.
Right.
So from January of 17 until September of 18, that's where I go about a year and a half. We're at 900 and something. I don't recall exactly. 900 something paid active members. And so your question was, how do you do that?
Yeah.
The answer to that question is give value. Right? It's the law of reciprocity. Give without the expectation of receiving anything in return and just give and give and give. Obviously, I had selfish intentions. I want to do more deals. I want to get more deal flow going. Of course, there's something in it for me as well. But I want to give, I just want to teach people. I just want to teach you how to wholesale, how to go rehab, how to do all this stuff. And if I teach you, and if I, you know, Zig Ziglar said it best, right? If you help enough people get what they want, you're going to end up getting what you want. And that's been, you know, my whole entire philosophy when it comes to business, when it comes to real estate, is just give as much as I can possibly give. And I'll tell you what, and you know, I know you want to talk about networking, but really that's the key to the whole thing, is that's the key to even networking. And that's the key to just deal flow. You want more. If you want more, give other people what they're looking for first.
Yeah, I love, and by the way, Zig Ziglar is like one of my big time heroes. I got introduced to Zig. I met him for the first time in person when I was 24 years old. And it was like, you know, I was like goo-goo eyed. I was in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas in a training program with the company I was with, the corporation I was with way back then. And there was an ad in the newspaper, Brian, that they had this TV show that they were recording live in Dallas, Fort Worth called Dawn, D-A-W-N, which stood for Dynamic Achievers Worldwide Network. And they had Zig Ziglar coming on at like 6 o'clock in the morning to record, you know, I mean, to put on the show live and record it. And they needed a studio audience. So they were looking for, so hey, you know, sign me up. So I went and saw Zig Ziglar at 6 a.m. in Dallas, Fort Worth in 1984. But nonetheless, you said something.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you said something that really resonated with me and also I know resonated with our viewers and listeners. And that is, you said, the law of reciprocity is, I want you to repeat that definition because I want everybody to let this really sink in. What's your definition of the law of reciprocity?
Yeah, and this is, I'm glad you said it that way. This is my definition of the law of reciprocity. It's really giving without the expectation of receiving anything in return.
That's the key right there, folks. That's the key. Giving with absolutely not expecting anything in return, at least from the people or the person that you're serving. And, you know, I think there's some people that hear this concept of, yeah, so if I give first, I give first, I'll give back. You know what I discovered years ago, Brian? I discovered if I don't expect anything in return, I'll never be disappointed, right?
Totally.
I can only win if I'm not expecting anything, you know, in return. And so anyway, that is awesome. So you grew this, Rhea. It's all about networking. So here's what I'm excited about having you here on the show, Brian, because I know you are a like expert networker. You get it. You know what it's about. You know what networking looks like. So I want us to dive deep for a few minutes on your tips, on your, you know, what it is you do in this world of networking. And here I want to frame it. I want you to talk about it in whatever, you know, aspect you want to. But the reason I want us to talk about networking is for two reasons. Number one, I'm convinced it doesn't matter what business you're in, brick and mortar, retail store space, multi-level marketing, real estate investing, or, you know, a professional, you know, it doesn't matter. It all comes down to being an excellent networker. So regardless of who is listening and viewing to the show right now, what we're going to talk about right now, folks, will apply to you no matter what business you're in or business you want to get in. Secondly, the other framing of this is that as relates to private money and getting funding for your deals. By the way, folks, if you're a new viewer or listener, private money, what we're talking about is we're not relying on banks or institutions or mortgage companies to fund our deals. We're actually doing business with individuals, people just like you, just like me, just like Brian, that loans money from their investment capital or their retirement accounts, retirement funds, to fund our deals. So Brian, back to you. Talk to me and talk to us about networking.
So first and foremost, let me frame this a little bit, because right off the bat, I already know that there are some people totally checking out right now. They're like, oh, networking. I'm falling asleep. Networking. We've all heard it, Brian. Your network is your net worth. We've heard all this stuff. We get it. We know networking is important. Let's move on to something else. I already know that that's how people feel about networking. But I'm gonna throw a twist in here, Jay. I'm gonna suggest that most people do not know how to network. I'm gonna suggest that most people don't know what networking is and they don't know how to.
And what you just said triggers this thought. You know, and I think you're right. And I'm so glad you said what you just did about, you know, folks, don't check out, because what Brian's getting ready to talk about is going to be something different than what you've heard before. But I'm sure a lot of people, when they just heard the word networking, they're thinking, oh, my lands, I've got to go to an actual function and I got to do the business card thing and I got to get my elevator, you know, pitched down. And, you know, oh, that sounds like so much work. So let's start with this, Brian. Well, what is your definition of networking?
Well, and I'll give you that. But the things you just mentioned are still good things to do, right? You
sure.
Still, I think that it's important to. I don't have business cards, but I do think it's important for some people.
Now, why'd you say you don't have the what? Why'd you say
I don't have business cards?
Oh, yeah. You know what? You know why I don't have business cards? Actually, I do have a business card, but. Oh, my lands. I wish I had my business card. Oh, I do have one. I may pull it out and show it to y'all. You know how much my business card cost me when I hand somebody my business card? $5. My business card costs $5. It's
each?
Solid. It's solid brass. Okay.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, But I got to say this before I forget. I mean, here I am stealing your show, but I got to say this when I'm thinking about it. When I'm at an event or I never offer my business card. You know why I don't offer my business card? I can't stand it when I'm out and about and somebody's offering me their business card and I didn't ask for your stupid business card. I don't want your business card. Why are you giving me your business card? I go to events to get business cards and I only give a business card when they ask. Back to you, Brian. Sorry.
No, this is important. And we can talk, we're talking about a lot of stuff here, but I literally recorded a video this morning. It won't be out for a few weeks, but I literally recorded a video this morning on our YouTube channel that said, the topic was, what do I do with business cards that I get at a networking meeting? What do I do with these things? So I recorded a video about that. I can link that up, or hopefully you link that up in the show notes, our YouTube channel. So you asked me what my definition of networking is. And really, I do have like kind of a full-blown definition that I kind of wrote out that I don't really have memorized, but it really all comes back, but it really boils down to just this one statement. It's in it, and we've already talked about it. It's you've got to be able to give without the expectation of receiving anything in return. That is how you actually truly network. So here are the keys. You want to know my three keys to networking?
Yes.
Here are my three keys to networking. Number one, you've got to be selfless. That's number one. You've got to get your own self out of the way and not feel like it's about you. I had one of my coaching students tell me one time, Brian, I hate networking. And I was like, why? She's like, I hate networking because I don't like to ask people a thing. I don't want to ask people to do something for me. I'm like, that's not what networking is. And the more the people I talk to, they have this complete kind of just, they've got it all backwards. They don't even really know what it is. And then the other thing I hear is people say, well, I don't like to talk to people. I'm like, well, there's not a whole lot I can do there because it's called network, not net sit, right? You do have to put in some work. You do have to actually do something, right? You have to talk to people. You have to get to know people. But here are my three keys. You got to be selfless, number one. Number two, I like to ask the question, what kind of challenges are you having today? What kind of challenges are you seeing in your business today? And a lot of the time, I'm going to get the answer, oh, you know, things are going good. No big challenges. That's what people are going to say probably 80 or 90% of the time. But my number two principle to networking is you've got to be a listener. Because when you ask the question, what kind of challenges are you seeing right now in your business? Most of the time, people are actually not even going to give you an answer. So you have to be a listener. You have to, you know, everyone's always heard, you know, God gave you two, you know, ears and one mouth for a reason. You should be doing twice as much listening. You've got to be a listener. When you're listening to people and you're asking the right questions, you can actually hear the challenges that they're having by not necessarily asking the question, what kind of challenges are you having, but they're going to end up telling you just by being a good listener. And so once you kind of go into it with the mindset that I'm going to be selfless, I'm going to try to give and it's not about me, and I'm going to listen. The third thing is you've got to connect the dots. You have to be a connector. A great networker is a great connector.
Absolutely.
If I know that you are the private money guy, Jay, and I know that there's a whole world out here, the couple of guys that absolutely need your help, I'm going to connect those dots, not because I have to, but because I like you.
Right.
I like you. We've built a good rapport and we've got some things in common. I've been on your podcast. You're coming on my podcast, those kinds of things. I'm going to connect you with people who need your service,
right,
who need connected with you. And I've only done that because I was selfless in the beginning and because I've been a good listener. I know what you need and I want to be that connector. Now, why would I do that? Why would I do these three things? None of those three things benefited me. It comes back to the law of reciprocity. I just gave you a lot of great things and I'm not expecting you to do anything back in return. But you know what? It's a crazy law out there. You're going to feel guilted. You're going to feel guilt inside of you that Brian has done all these incredible things for me. I've got to pay him back in some way. Just like when someone holds the door open for you, if you know, there's two doors, there's like a vestibule or something. You hold the door open, someone walks through and then they hold the door open for you. It's just like a need. No one ever wants to feel like someone's given more than they take, you know, they want to kind of feel weird about it. You're going to feel guilted into doing something back in return for me. It's just a natural feeling that we all feel.
Right.
And therefore, you're going to try to figure out, you know, what does Brian need? What are his challenges right now? How can I be a connector for him and connect those dots for him?
I love it. So I know through our conversations that we've had, you know, getting to know each other, you've become very good yourself at raising private money. You know, you've raised private money and you've done it in your warm market. So share with us your networking, how you've gone about raising money in your warm market through people that you have some kind of connections with.
Sure. So private lending is a relationship business, period. End of story. There's really, unless you're going to go and get, you know, go through an institution that does, like, you know, puts funds together, and they, some people call that hard money. Unless you want to just pay like kind of insane interest rates that I think are insane. That's not a relationship business. That's a business based on how good's the asset. Oh, the asset's pretty good, but we're only going to lend you like 65%.
Right.
Of which you actually need. So the private money part of it is, it's a total relationship game. And there's nothing else I can really say about that, except you've got to be selfless. You've got to be a great networker. You got to be selfless, be a listener, be a connector. You got to do all the same things that I'm talking about as far as networking goes, because no one is going to lend money out of their 401k, out of their self-directed IRA. No one's going to lend you money if they don't know who you are, they don't like you, they don't trust you. You've got to build a rapport. Sometimes it can take as much. I've been working on certain people for 9 months, 12 months, 15 months. I've been working on these people for a long time. And when I say working on, I'm not asking them. I don't ever ask anyone for private money. And Jay, I got this from you and people like you. I love where you ask the question, do you know of anyone? I never come right out and say, hey, would you be interested in, do you know of anyone? And I've listened to your stuff. I think, you know, I've heard a lot of different private money guys. That's how you approach it. And that's how you do it. If you're interested in learning how to raise private money, you don't need to be asking me. You need to be asking the expert right here.
Well, I always find it interesting, particularly when other people have been successful in getting private money, but you know, you're exactly right. It's the same case in my world. I have never asked anybody for money. And right now we've got almost $7 million in private money that we, you know, moved from house to house to house to house on single family houses. So this next question I've got in mind for you, Brian, I know I got a ton of viewers and listeners that have not done their first real estate investing deal yet, as of right now, when they're listening. And so, you know, as of today's show, you've been doing it for 6 years. So I know this question is going to be easy for you to answer. What's the best advice, or what is some of the best advice that you would give a brand new real estate investor that's never done a deal before? What advice would you give them? And I know that can be a long list, but you may want to relate that to perhaps a mistake or mistakes that you made when you were starting out brand new.
Yeah. So it's going to be difficult to answer this question fully without some more context, because when I started, I'm going to be in a lot different position in life, a position financially, than some other people may. So I started with no money and bad credit, and I had to wholesale because there's no barrier of entry really.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second, Brian. So you had bad credit when you started. You had no money when you started. And we've got viewers and listeners that are in the same category right now. Yep. They got bad credit. They got nothing saved up. And so let's take a few minutes and help these people get over this notion of you got to have money to make money. So how did you do it with no money and bad credit?
So definitely if you're in that camp, and this is what I do, this is my job every day. I literally coach and train people from brand new A, and I try to just get them to B. I'm not trying to get them from A to Z. I'm trying to get them to the next point to where I teach people how to make money. That's my number one job today. If you don't know how to make money, I teach you how to make money in real estate. If you can start with nothing, it's harder to start with nothing. It's not impossible, but it is harder. If you have good credit, you got a little bit something to start with, it makes things a lot easier, but it's not impossible. So the first thing I would do, if I was brand new, didn't know anything about real estate, and I didn't have any money, I had bad credit, typically people with no money and bad credit tend to have a lot of time on their hands. It's just the way things kind of work. So if you're that person, you're no money, bad credit, you probably got some time on your hands. This is what I would do. I would drive my neighborhood. I would drive around my neighborhood. This is what I'm looking for in particular. Because I don't know, you're talking about the guy that doesn't even know anything about real estate, right, Jay?
Correct.
If I don't, I don't know, I've never done a deal, but I don't even really know anything about real estate. Maybe I bought my primary residence. Maybe that's all I've ever done. You've got to get to know your local market. And when I'm talking about your local market, I'm talking about not your city. I'm talking about your subdivision. You need to start there. You need to start right where you are, and you've got to drive your neighborhood. And this is what you look for. I'm looking for houses that are for sale, houses that are for rent, houses that are for sale by owner, because they're going to have a different sign on them. Houses that for rent by owner, it's going to have a kind of a handmade written sign. I'm looking for those houses. I'm going to jot down those addresses. And I'm also going to look for any houses that seem to be distressed or vacant. Any houses that have grass growing up real high, windows busted out. You know, these, by the way, there are houses like that in even really good neighborhoods. So it doesn't, I'm not talking about necessarily bad neighborhoods. So that's the first thing I would do. I'd make a list, and then I'd go home. That's only in your subdivision. It's only going to take you 30 minutes to an hour. I'd go home and I would look up every one of those addresses. I would just Google search the address and go to like a Zillow link is going to pop up, or a realtor.com link is going to pop up, a Google Street View. Those things are going to pop up. I'm going to click on the Zillow link or the realtor.com link, and I want to know if it's for sale, how much is it for sale for? I want to get to know my market. If I live in a subdivision today, I want to know how much my house is worth. So that's where you got to start. You got to start local, and you got to figure out what is your house worth today? And what was it worth 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Is it appreciating? Is it depreciating? Are we in a good market? Are we in a bad market? Where are we in our market cycle? You need to learn the market. That's the very first thing I would do.
Excellent. So learn the market. Who should they, well, obviously, I mean, I know you would testify to this, and that is, if anybody's brand new, they definitely need to be, well, let me ask you, how important, you may have a different opinion than me, how important is it for them to get involved with a local real estate investing group or meetup or association?
So in the beginning, for me, let's just take me for instance. When I first got into real estate, it was unbelievable how passionate I was about real estate. And I didn't even know anything about it. And I was just like crazy passionate about it. I was reading everything. I read Rich Dad Poor Dad years prior, but pick up a book like Rich Dad Poor Dad, watch YouTube videos, listen to podcasts like this one. Go to your real estate clubs, search Real Estate Investor Association, and then your city. And go to the networking events. In the beginning, it's going to be so awkward. You're not going to know anyone. No one's going to know you. You're going to think everyone's staring at you. Just sit down and just be quiet. You don't worry about networking right now. And just soak it all in, because you don't know anything. Just soak it all in. So I can sit here and go through the A, B, C, D, all the steps to get your first deal. There are a lot of people out there that do that. It'd be a very, very, very long podcast if we went through every single step. But, you know, at the end of the day, get connected with a guy like Jay, who's going to teach you how to do stuff like this. If you're in my area, you know, I do it. But if you're not, there's so many free resources. You got to take advantage of the free resources first before you ever go out there and actually try to pay someone.
Yeah. So, Brian, before we end the show, and we're getting towards the end here in the next few minutes, but before we end, I want to take a moment and drill down inside your head and inside your heart. So, you know, for you to be as successful as you have become, and really on the big picture, a short amount of time, really, what personal characteristics or habits, I think I'm even more interested in habits, what habits or rituals or perspectives do you have about, you know, your, what kind of filter are you looking through, you know, at this world that you would say lends themselves to you being the passionate, successful person that you are?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Never had that question before. So I was the 30-year-old living in my dad's basement playing video games until 4 a.m. Okay. So I'm 38 today. I got into an atmosphere when I was 30, 31, 32, into a coaching atmosphere where I was coaching Division I college basketball. And you can't be lazy and be in an atmosphere like that. You can't be around coaches and players who are just literally, it's their life's work and it's their life's devotion to that game of basketball.
I got to stop you right there, Michael. This is a really, really important point, big important point, because what you just said is a big principle. So you said you were 30 years old, you're living in the basement of your dad's house, you're playing video games till 4 a.m, and now you're in this different, and the key word is right. Environment.
Right.
So what I'm going to say is that if somebody, or not somebody, for the people that are watching and listening right now, if they want to change and they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, if they're sick and tired of the mundane, the mediocre, they got to change their environment, right?
I agree. So here's the thing though, Jay, this is what, and this is going back to Mike Davis, head coach at UAB when I was underneath him, who is now gone on to coach at other places. Mike Davis said something I'll never forget. He was the first real father figure in my life. This is my life. This is my personal story. He was the first real father figure in my life. Mike Davis said something I'll never forget for the rest of my life. He said, people do not change. Jay, people do not change. The only way someone could possibly change is to face some sort of tragedy, face some sort of back up against the wall situation where you are desperate. Absolute desperation. The reason why most people fail at real estate is because they don't have desperation. There's no desperation in their life whatsoever. They are comfortable. And I don't care if you're living on Section 8, and I don't care if you are living paycheck to paycheck, whatever it is, and I don't care if you're in mountains of debt. You've become comfortable in that situation. You've become comfortable with that environment. I'm comfortable with the fact that I have a mortgage payment, whether I have a car payment. Oh, Brian, I have to have a car payment. I'm comfortable with the fact that I have this debt. And it's just something that I'm always going to have. I'm comfortable with the fact that I'm always going to be who I am and nothing can change that. You lack desperation to think that way. And the only people who can change and get out of that is people who are desperate. Jay, I was desperate. And I think you, in order to change your lifestyle, whoever may be listening to this, my story may resonate with you. It may not, but if it does, you're not going to ever change unless you get that desperation. And where does that desperation come from? Like, that's not really something I can answer for you. For me, it was very specific. I had just gotten married at the time. My wife I was comfortable. My wife had a very, very good job. She was a pharmacist making a lot of money. I didn't have to make a lot of money. I wasn't in a situation where I had to make a lot of money. Well, one day when I'm coaching basketball, she calls me up crying her eyes out, said, I'm quitting my job. I can't do this anymore. And I'm like, whoa. I'm making $6,000 a year coaching basketball, $1,000 a month for 6 months.
Right.
You can't quit your job. And so that was the desperation point for me, is that my wife, like hearing that pain in her voice over the phone, I was coaching 2.5 hours away from our home in Birmingham. And to hear that desperation, hear that voice on the other end, for me, that's what changed it all. That my goal, my number one goal became at that moment, I've got to make this real estate thing work. And I've got to replace my wife's income. And it took us, Jay, it took us 3 more years. But in January of 2017 or in December of 2016, my wife had our second child. And she did not go back to work after her maternity leave in February. And she has not been back since, because we replaced her income with our real estate holdings. And that was my number one goal. That was my purpose. That was my passion. That was my why. That was the reason I got into real estate. And without that, none of this would exist. Without that fire that she lit inside of me, none of this would exist. So I want to encourage your audience, if there's someone that is listening to this, which, you know, you're starting with nothing or you don't have a lot, I hate to kind of break this to you, but you are never going to get out of your current situation if you are comfortable and if you're not desperate. You're just not, because you have no reason to.
Yeah, I love you using the word comfortable. One thing that I teach my students and coach my students is you have to become, this is going to sound strange, but you have to become comfortable with being uncomfortable. All right. And in fact, one of my star students, Crystal, her mantra is life begins at the end of your comfort zone. All right. And so, you know, you talk about desperation, Brian. My desperation turning point, triggering point in my real estate investing career was when the banks cut me off. See, I had become so comfortable with relying on the banks and all, you know, I had the lines of credit and I just called them up and boom, there was the money. And then I don't know if you heard my, well, I probably told you my story, but when I called up my bank and I'm cut off with no notice, it's like, what? You know? And so, you know, it's like you had a decision to make when you got the phone call from your wife, and that is, okay, am I going to do something about this or am I not going to do anything about this? So with your story, what I encourage all the listeners and viewers to ask yourself this question, what is it in your life that you are just totally done with that can be your desperation turning point? We'll call it your desperation turning point. That'll get you to take the action. I love that story, Brian. Awesome. From the standpoint, I mean, you wouldn't be here today, as you said, I wouldn't be here today with our without our desperation points.
I agree.
You know, that's awesome. That's awesome. Brian, my lands, I could keep talking to you all day. I love you, man. I love your heart. And I'll tell you what, there's a common thread of the people that we're having here on the show, and you played it out just 1,000% here on the show, Brian, and that is you got a servant's heart. What you see is what you get, and I appreciate you so much. Brian, for the folks that want to continue staying connected with you, how can folks can connect with you?
Well, there are lots. Thank you for the opportunity, Jay. There are lots of different ways. I think the best way, our YouTube channel is really growing right now. You can just search Real Estate Investing Live or REI Live. Follow me on Instagram. We're really putting out a lot of stuff on Instagram right now. DM me on Instagram. Make sure you don't just be one of those silent people that follows me and I never hear from them. I want to engage with you. It's Brian J. Tripp at B-R-I-A-N. And then the letter J for my middle initial, and then Tripp is T-R-I-P-P-E. So at Brian J. Tripp on Instagram. We have a podcast as well that Jay is going to be on here, hopefully here in a few weeks, that just search in iTunes Real Estate Investing Live, and we will come up. So thank you for that opportunity, Jay.
So let's do this, Brian. So I'm going to ask my executive producer, Scott, to put right below my fingers here on the video, What do you want to put? I mean, we're going to put in the show notes everything you just said, but what do you want to see right here on the video?
Instagram colon at Brian J. Tripp.
Say it one more time.
Just Instagram, Brian J. at Brian J. Tripp. The at sign Brian J. Tripp.
And you're T-R-I-P-P-E, right?
Yes, sir. You got it.
I'm having to repeat all that stuff for our iTunes listeners who are not having the pleasure of this beautiful video looking at your beautiful shiny head. You know what I'm saying?
And I have a light right in front of me, so it's probably bouncing right back to you.
That's awesome.
But guys, listen, I highly encourage you to get on. You should be watching this video right now. I know a lot of us are busy and we need to listen to the podcast as we're driving. But the YouTube channel, Jay's YouTube channel, is blowing up. You've got to go subscribe to his YouTube channel right now. Great information, great video. We're better learners when we can see it and hear it.
True. Thank you for the endorsement there, Brian. Yep, Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor. Brian, thank you so much for the time, for being here on the show. Man, you knocked it out of the park, as I knew you would. Looking forward to seeing you very soon at one of our upcoming networking events and mastermind groups. And any parting comments before we say goodbye for this show?
Not really. I kind of said it all. I'm just really appreciative to you, Jay, for not only who you are and inviting me on the show, but for what you've done for the real estate investing community as well. You know, I got a chance to hear a lot of great things about you when I heard you in Asheville, North Carolina a few weeks ago. So very just appreciative of you and what you do in our community.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brian. All right, folks, thank you for tuning in. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. Leave your comments and questions below. We'll get those answered. If you're on iTunes, of course, subscribe and rate and review. I'm Jay Connor, the Private Money Authority. And until the next show, here's to taking your real estate investing business to the next level. Bye for now.